What's happening? Welcome in, J Mart and Ramon, 104.5 The Zone, on a treacherous Thursday, which means at 8 a.m., we will gripe with you.
Yes.
Bleep you, Aaron Rodgers.
You, Aaron Rodgers.
Sam Monson will join us in the second hour for Pro Football Focus. Dave McGinnis will join us in the final hour of the program.
Wow.
Avs one win away from the Stanley Cup, as we heard Schaefer say at the top of the hour. NBA draft is tonight.
Tonight!
Which means, hey, you get to watch for about an hour and you've probably seen enough.
Get my alert about Kennedy Chandler and we'll be good to
That's
go.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I want to see who my Thunder get. I'm definitely excited about Chet. If it turns out to be Jabari, that'll be fine too. And then we've got the 10th pick as well.
Yeah.
So I'll watch those, and then I'll just start. I'll see what happens after the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to see where Kennedy Chandler goes.
I do, too. I really want to see it. I'm hoping he goes higher than he was projected. I think it was like mid-20s on some. Was the latest that he would go. Ron actually think he's going to go higher than that. And you know what? I'm going to roll with our resident basketball expert here at 104.5 The Zone, man. So... And then I'm a Vol, too. Of course, I kind of want to see Kennedy do get drafted high. And not just that. The kid seems like a really great young man, too, man. Am I old head status when I'm calling somebody else a young man, Jay? Is that what that is now? But no, he's still just a kid, and he got his life so much in front of him that going into the professional ranks, man, all the work he's at, all these guys, all the work, all the doubt, all the blood, sweat, and tears, and just the I'm talking about unlimited amounts of training that you go to get to this point. I think it's very unique for a guy to go to the league, to the NFL after his third year in college. Redshirt sophomore, the kid from Mississippi State this past year, the lineman. I have to pull his name up in a second. But he was a redshirt sophomore going into the NFL, and then you have – a guy that's 18 years old, 19 years old, going into the NBA. Like, that is a very unique situation to be thrown into, man. And I get excited for those kids, Jay. I will say that, man. I think it's a real cool thing going from friggin' a 16-year-old sophomore or junior in high school and then about 2 or 3 years later making millions of dollars in the NBA playing a grown man's game. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Look, you see a lot of dreams come true for people tonight.
Charles Cross was the guy name.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Charles Cross.
According to just looking at ESPN's final mock that they put out, they've got Kennedy Chandler going 25 to San Antonio.
25?
For the trade with the Celtics.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's lower than I would have. I've seen him mocked at 22 to Memphis, but they've got Memphis taking Ty Washington.
They got Memphis taking Ty. Ty is nice now. I won't deny that. For his sake, though, I'd rather Kennedy be up out of Memphis. Let him see a little bit more. He went to the University of Tennessee, and then for him to go right back home, like literally home or literally, as we pronounce bad words on this show, literally,
we're not pronouncing bad words. We're pronouncing words badly.
Words badly. There we go. There we go. To have him go back home, I would have enjoyed my later years being here in Nashville in my home state. I don't think it would have been good for me to be here my rookie year starting off in the NFL. You just too comfortable, too much family around for my liking, honestly. And I think it could be a distraction, especially for him in his hometown of Memphis. But, hey, I didn't live through it. I'd love to hear from somebody. I got to talk to somebody that actually played in their hometown, though, like drafted to it. It'd be, well, Byard. Never mind. Byard's done it. We'll see if we can get him on at some point in jail. At least have somebody ask him that question. Be like, hey, man, how was it being that you're from here, went to MTSU, and then continue to play for your hometown franchise? I think that's pretty cool. If you can sustain.
Yeah, I do think for the state and for that franchise, it would be cool to see him around. But get the point about wanting to branch out a little bit, too. Look, if you get 25, that's one of those draft picks for San Antonio that could because they used to be great at drafting towards the end of a round, mm-hmm. finding guys that could contribute for them that shouldn't still be there but yeah. would be there. That would be close to qualifying, mm-hmm. And they haven't been relevant in a while.
No, they have not.
So they can use. They certainly could use a playmaker. We can say that. But that'll be tonight, and we'll be able to kind of reset that for you tomorrow on the show. We're still, you know, a month and a half out from real feelings like football's close.
We're close, though, Jay. We're real, real close to just loading up and just really ramping up what training camp's going to be, what's going to be our positional fights. How many months will we be removed, Jay? 7 months at that point from January 22nd, 2022?
Oh, boy.
We're going to have to go down that rabbit hole, man, and try to revisit. Okay, you said what you said. You felt how you felt. You did what you did. We didn't have any jersey burning, did we, Shafe?
Tannehill sucks.
Oh, but where are you now?
No, I don't care where you're at now. No, I don't care. We'll ask you when we start training.
No, that's what I meant. I said we're about a month away from that.
Yeah.
From the 22nd to about the when was training camp started for the Titans? Late July, whatever it is. We'll be over 7 months at that time frame.
Yeah, it's usually that next to last weekend
of
July. Yeah.
It'll be
And
look it up.
Y'all might be going out for a few days this year.
Oh, what?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you tease me with a good time, okay?
Just saying maybe.
Okay. All right.
I've been talking to the people.
Look at you. Shave just doing just God's
doing
work out here
doing
today.
Adult things.
Okay. All right. I'm here for it.
Like waking up and going to work.
It's overrated, ain't it?
Mm.
It's overrated, ain't
That's
it?
That.
Well, I'll tell you this. The thing about adulting, though, I do think it's pretty cool waking up in the morning, grabbing a coffee, going into work, and just having that feeling of like, yeah.
That's Jason's barely awake.
Look at him right now. Like a toddler just staring into, just, you know how toddlers.
Just nodding his head back and forth like Stewie and Family Guy.
Nodding back. I'm tired, Bob.
Both.
Are we in here laughing and having a good time? Jay's just over there like, you shut the bleep up, Ramon and Jonathan.
Jay's all like,
what happened? If you nod your head and fall asleep in this studio, I'd be like, that's appropriate, Jay. You know, our kids fight, they sleep. I feel like Jason fighting being awake right now. It's all good. We're here.
By the way, Byard's not originally from Tennessee.
Yeah, I just found it out.
Yeah.
Georgia. Georgia kid. Yeah, my apologies. Yep, I hold that up.
Do right better.
There. Well, he played college.
He played
ball
at MTSU.
There. He's a Tennessee resident now, isn't he?
Well, hold up. Now, but that's not where he's from. But you were talking about
being from the state.
Right.
Yes, correct. So, I guess you can be an out-of-state resident and run for a position here in the city, in a new state, because he's the mayor.
Oh, well, that's... He's established residency long enough to be.
Yeah, he's established residency. Okay, I'm not going to knock him whatsoever. I just had to get some clarity on this.
Here's a weird. This is just weird.
Uh-oh.
So we get these emails from Jimmy Shapiro, and they're always betting odds, and they're like just kind of keeping you up to date on what's happening in Vegas and where people are and things like that. So the first one is, will Rob Gronkowski play for the Bucks? And yes is +140. No is -180. So. No is the winner, but not like overly.
Mm-hmm.
Like it could change, right? But then there's next NFL coach fired, resign.
And how high Mike Tomlin is on that list?
How about how high Mike Vrabel is on that
list?
Stop. Mike Tomlin is 16-1, which is 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13th. Tied for 13th with John Harbaugh. Neither one of which I think is going anywhere, right?
Are they even on the list? Okay, well, go ahead.
Mike Vrabel is 12-1.
Vrabel's 12-1.
He is ninth.
As far
as of ninth. Matt Rule is 3-1. He's number one with a bullet. Mike McCarthy is second at 5-1.
I believe that.
Pete Carroll is 6-1.
Mm. Age.
Right.
Yeah.
Frank Reich is 7-1, which is also very high, I think.
That's real high.
Which that's also kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand.
Why would
that.
He even be in that situation?
Ron Rivera's 8-1.
I think that's nuts too.
Well, if he resigned.
Well, resigns is different.
If he resigns because of health or something, then maybe they're taking that into it. Dan Campbell is 6th, tied with Kevin Stefanski. So they're 10-1. That's the Lions and the Browns.
Dan Campbell. Wow, Detroit.
And then Cliff Kingsbury and Mike Vrabel are tied next at 12-1.
I push Cliff up higher and Vrabel down lower.
Yeah, I don't see. Arthur Smith is 14-1, so Vrabel's more likely than Arthur Smith, according to this list. Hmm. Robert Saleh is 14-1. Tell me, he's more entrenched with the Jets than Vrabel is, according to these deals. And then you've got like Nick Sirianni, 25-1.
Sirianni.
Dennis Allen, 66-1, I guess because it's his first year. Matt Eberflus in Chicago, 66-1. There's some 100-1 guys. Then there's some 80-1 guys, 66. Vrabel is top 10 and most likely to either be fired or resign next. That's, to me, I don't know what these odds are, but they're dumb.
That's silly right there.
Like, I just saw the email, and it was just, and that's what I was doing while you guys were talking. Like, I saw it, and I was just like, wait a second, what is this?
That is a little slow right there, Jay.
That's 12-1 on Vrabel being the next one. Like,
who's actually taking that bet?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, who's taking the bet?
Like, you shouldn't be getting any action on one side of that at all.
No, absolutely not. Vrabel's probably one of the safest jobs in America right now when it comes to this team. Am I right? Like, that's pretty. That's gambling, though, right? That's all we can really say. That's gambling. As you want to place a bet on that, go ahead. You lose that $20.
I just, man.
God, dog.
That just doesn't make sense.
It never crossed my mind. I will say, of course, you look at some personnel changes potentially, but I never thought it would be a head coaching conversation. Who was it? Andrew Brandt pretty much said there was an article we got to get into about that too at some point, right, Jay? With he saying that he fully believes that Vrabel and John Robinson can reconstruct
the
roster.
Oh, you mean Albert Breer.
Get the two mixed up all the time, too.
You do, too?
Yeah.
Man, hey.
They're both ABs, and I get their name mixed up.
Just like me.
Well, I don't.
I'm not.
Those two guys are not similar.
By the way, Titans training camp starts July 26.
Okay. Andrew, Albert, Breer, Brandt. You can see how someone can mix them up.
Not really.
Okay.
Ooh, big shot over here. Get on this smug Alabama shirt on right now, too.
Monson, Bleep, Aaron Rodgers, Coach Mac. Bad day for the Ravens yesterday.
Tough day for the Ravens, man. Old and current.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that some.
Old and current, man.
Both Tony Siragusa and Jalen Ferguson.
Goose.
So we'll talk some there. We are going to get into that article a little bit later on in the show. We need time to discuss that. So we'll do that when we come back, as a matter of fact. Because of the way the guests are set up, it probably makes more sense to get into that. Albert Breer, who does the Monday Morning Quarterback now for SI, does a mailbag, as most writers do. And the first two questions were about the AFC South. Mm-hmm. And I think looking at them in kind of totality might give us an interesting jumping off point for how we could see the division going this year. So we'll come back and we'll actually do that since we have the long segment. We've got more time in this first hour. So stick around. It's Jay Martin and Ramon, 104.5 The Zone.
Searching HVAC near here.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Wow. Nobody local? Huh.
Wait, what? We are an HVAC company literally in your neighborhood. Why is she not seeing us?
Just all the big chains. Well, it is what it is.
What in the... Can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local HVAC providers. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
Jay Martin, Ramon, 104.5 Zone on this Thursday, lifted up by all Four Seasons Garage Stores in Nashville. We're here till 10 every single weekday. So Albert Breer, SI.com, his mailbag this week. The first question is about the Colts. The second question is about the Titans.
Titans.
And someone from social media asks, Colts this year's Rams?
Mm.
And he responds, I've been habitually too high on the Colts. I think there's a lot of people in the media that could be on that same line.
Yeah.
F the Colts.
Am I picking them to win the AFC South again? I'm not sure yet. But I think there's a lot of reason for people in Indy to be excited. They have a core of truly elite players. Jonathan Taylor, Quentin Nelson, Darius Leonard, DeForest Buckner. A good subset of ascending talent. Michael Pittman Jr., Braden Smith, Kwity Paye, Bobby Okereke, and Julian Blackman. And a quarterback in Matt Ryan who I think has more bullets left in his gun than a lot of people think. That said, I do believe a few things need to fall into place for the Colts to take the step from playoff team to one ready to make a deep run in January. And so then he's got listed five different things that go into this. Ryan has to be good. Receivers have to be healthy and improve. Left tackle needs to be sorted out.
Oh.
Pass rush has to come together. And Stephon Gilmore needs to pan out. That signing needs to work out for them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's five, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then he says, I feel there's a good likelihood all this comes through for the Colts. And then the second question. Are the Titans ready for a fall off?
Yeesh.
Henry usage, Tannehill regressing to the mean, weaker at other skill positions. Seems to be they're banking on catching lightning in a bottle with a more expensive, less talented roster than the team that went to the AFC title game. And Breer responds, it does feel like the Titans are in as much of a win-now spot as anyone in the AFC. Tannehill turns 34 this summer. He earns the last guaranteed dollar on his current deal this season. Ben Jones is 32. Lawan is 30. Derrick Henry is 28. Went through the first injury-marred season of his career. Has a ton of mileage from the last 3 years. DeNico and Robert Woods are 32. Bud Dupree's 29. Kevin Byard will be 29 in August. Says that's a lot of guys at an advanced age. And while I have the utmost confidence in GM John Robinson and Coach Mike Vrabel to be able to rebuild the team when the time comes, there's no question that the clock is ticking on the current group. And he says, does that mean a bunch of guys are going to get old and the Titans won't contend to win the division? I don't think so, but we're inching closer to that point, and the roster's built in a way where if the injury bug winds up biting the team, the reason for it might be more than just bad luck. And again, I do think Tennessee will contend this year. I also think within a year or two, we'll be looking at a different group on the field in Nashville. So when you guys sent this to me yesterday, I immediately thought, well, it's interesting that both the questions are about the two teams that we're paying attention to in that division. One of them being the team we cover, the other one being the team we also have to cover on a regular basis when it comes to the Colts. And I thought this was maybe the most interesting thing because there were caveats in both of these answers from Albert Breer. It's like there were bullet points. There was actually a list in the Colts thing of what needs to go right for them, which he thinks can and probably will.
Yeah.
And then he says similar things about the Titans. So I think, is it possible that the division comes down to who answers more of these questions right? Is it, we can look at the AFC South and say who has less contingencies, who has less if questions about their team, and that becomes a safer pick in terms of the division. Now, the games have to be played. The schedules are not identical, and injuries are not things you can fully predict in advance. But it does seem like that makes sense, that you would look at both those two teams and say, well, which one has less question marks? Because there's so much similar about those two organizations and about where they butter their bread, how they run their offenses, head coaches in similar age range, Reich's a little bit older.
Yeah.
General managers that are usually hit more than miss, and defenses that have some stars on both sides. I don't necessarily know the answer to it just like off the top of my head. I know where I feel like I'm going to go for the division, but I'm going to hold off until we get closer to the season and continue to think about it and continue to take everything into consideration before we have to pick anything. But I am interested from that perspective, which one has more is, especially when the Colts have just right here five questions that need to be answered. We can go back to them real quick, Mo. One is Ryan needs to be the guy they think he is.
Mm-hmm.
I've already said I'm on that train. I believe that is the case. Number two, the receivers need to see better health and natural improvement. Pittman hit 1,000 yards last year in his second year. He needs to get better. Paris Campbell's got to stay healthy. And they're talking about Alec Pierce, the rookie, and showing promise and all this. Third, here you go. left tackle. Costanzo retired. Yep. Eric Fisher, that just didn't work. You got Matt Pryor. You got Bernard Raymond. Indy has to be good at left tackle. And they have to be better than they were last year, is how it's phrased. It says the good news is that bar isn't set very high, right? Because they were lacking at left tackle last year.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say to that?
It's interesting to me. You can see his love affair with the Colts. I'll say that just first and foremost. And I'll start at the one position in which he called out a bunch of numbers on, and that was age. I wrote down after reading this, I was like, you know, what's an old age in the NFL? Like, that's the one thing that he, you know, just threw out there as far as the Titans go. They got a bunch of guys that are either late 20s or 30s already. I get it. Ben Jones kind of showed that a little bit last year. Taylor Lewan, I didn't get a whole lot of that out of. Derrick Henry being 28, I know the lifespan of a running back in this league is short, but 28 and the way he looks right now looks very fine to me. The foot, again, of course, always got to be, we're always going to talk about that. Danico and Robert Woods being 32, I didn't realize that was an old age like that. Maybe with Robert Woods being that way, but we've seen other wide receivers in this league find a way to kind of push through that age threshold. I think it's a little bit different these days. Bud being 29, never knew 29 was old in this league. Also, with Byard being 29 in August, I'm like, what? I didn't realize that was
29's
old.
Peak.
29.
I've looked at this peak. Before. For quarterbacks, 29 is usually where you start to decline.
Even that's in where today's the numbers NFL. Decline.
Yeah, in general, yes. Like Tom's an avatar, and there have been some avatars, but generally, there are more guys after 29 that don't have their best season than do. They usually are trailing off from a statistical standpoint. That's just based on the numbers. I did not look at that list and think advanced age. And that's how it's written.
Yeah.
It says that's a lot of guys at an advanced age, at a pretty advanced age, he says. Mm. Ben Jones, 32. Yeah, we're getting there. Tannehill, 34. We're getting there. Lewan, 30. He's had a lot of miles on his tires.
Yeah.
That's why we thought there was a chance he wasn't going to be here. But you look at 29 and 28, I'm not willing to call that advanced.
Me either. Okay, so the reason I brought that up as far as today's NFL, as far as quarterback goes, he mentioned Frank Wright being able to bring Matt Ryan back when after 15 years in the league. And I'm thinking, well, you didn't mention the age when it came down to this guy. Why is it a factor when it comes down to Ryan Tannehill and him being 34 years old? That's kind of questionable to me as far as what is the standard that we wrote and talked about. Again, if he loves the Colts, then that pretty much showed right there. Again, Ryan Tannehill is a very solid quarterback. I don't think he's been MVP level in this league, and Matt Ryan has, so maybe he's going through that. So, again, I just pulled up a quarterback that we saw play after 32, and that was Drew Brees. And I know it's like, well, Moan, that's Drew Brees, but Drew Brees threw four in his career. 5,400 at 32, 5,100, 5,100, 49, 4,800, 5,200. He didn't start to fall off until he was 39 years old. But then his completion percentages actually went up. All right. I think the right mix of older players with young players, which I think the Titans do have, although in my honest opinion, the depth just isn't there as much as I want it to be. The skill position for this team, I think, are a step. I don't even know if it's a step below when it comes to what the Colts have. I think the Colts just have a really good wide receiver, Michael Pittman.
By the way, he writes that Robert Woods is 32 in this piece. He says Danico Autry and Robert Woods are 32. Yeah, that's Robert's not true. 30.
No.
Robert's 30.
There we go. All right. Thank you for correcting that then. But he's coming off the ACL, too.
Yeah, he does mention about Ryan. He calls him the 15th year quarterback. So he's asserting without asserting. This dude's played a lot in this league. But most people think that.
He also said that with Frank Wright, he can turn him around. Now, again, whether he just don't trust Todd Downing to be able to do that and Tim Kelly, okay, fine. I didn't think much of this team being very old. I thought more of this team being
actually not having a lot of depth. That's not what he said about Wright. What he said was he thinks with the help of Frank Reich and Matt Ryan, there's a chance Indy's going to get better play from the quarterback spot than Atlanta did the last few years. If he's healthy.
If we're looking at these two teams, I think it's a similar issue. What is Stephon Gilmore going to turn into when we turn on the tape and he's got to play at his age, too? The one issue that he brought up that I fully agree with, this team cannot have a major injury span. It just can't. The Titans. They simply cannot. Those guys that you have playing are prime time guys, guys that are very, very good at their position. And I think the drop off from, let's say, a DeNico to one of his backups is probably a little bit different. From Beyer to one of his backups is a way big, drastic drop off. There has to be a point in this season in which one of those young guys develop. I say you cycle in a lot more reps in camp for young guys, adjusting for the what ifs if a guy goes out, the how we're going to survive if we miss another Derrick Henry portion of the season. I don't know if we're as sure about the running back position if Derrick happens to sprain that bone again. You know what I'm saying? Or if something weird happened. Depending on injuries. Aside from that, who do I feel stronger about going into the season? They both have issues at in the offensive line. They need to find a left tackle, which I think is way more important than actually finding a left guard here in Tennessee. I like the idea that the Titans would possibly have a better offensive line starting the season off than what Indy will have as far as their offensive line goes. Now, the left guard that they have in Indy, Quentin, is a monster. He's everything and more when it comes down to it, but his supporting cast, specifically the guy who's going to play left tackle beside him, is probably going to cause a whole lot of stress. That, to me, might be the biggest issue, and honestly, the biggest determining factor on winning this division this year is getting after the quarterback at that left tackle position. I don't trust it enough for Matt Ryan, as he's aged in this league as much as he has, and he's never been a mobile quarterback. That kind of bothers me a little bit when it comes down to the offensive line. Now, Dylan Raiden's on the right side of this line for the Titans is going to be interesting. I feel better about a right tackle first-time starter than I ever would about a left tackle uncertain starter when it comes down to the Colts. Positionally, again, wide receivers to wide receivers. Who do you really feel comfortable with in this group? Robert Woods would be our number one right now in Tennessee. Michael Pittman Jr., I'm taking Michael Pittman Jr. all day when it comes down to that. Again, the incorporation of Austin Hooper this year, though, for the Titans is probably going to be a big-time addition if he stays on the field and they find ways to get him the ball and let these other, let's be real, the younger wide receivers catch up to what this NFL speed is going to be. Both defenses are solid, but they're both fragile too, Jay. Both of them are. You got some studs in Jeff. You got some studs in the front line with Bud and Harold. But you say the same thing about the Colts. They are really they draft and manage their teams, to me, in my opinion, to just fight each other. And that's the beauty of what you have. Who's going to win the division? I'm with you. I'm kind of hesitant to say who's going to do what. Quarterback to quarterback.
Quarterback to quarterback, I'm taking that.
Yeah. Quarterback to quarterback, at this point, I'm taking Matt Ryan. And I just think that's fair. Even though he hasn't looked stellar in Atlanta the last couple of years, he has not. Hasn't been supported by much of a run game. Hasn't been supported by much of an offensive line. He has a similar issue with the left tackle position in Indy. But the running game and their running back can really soften the blow throughout the course of the season if they pick up where they left off last year. Now, that's the conversation to be had. Mm-hmm. Who of these two running backs in the AFC South will actually help their team the most when we look at it? Now, I know there will be a lot of hate that go towards Jonathan Taylor. He's not King Henry. He ain't this. He ain't that. Stop.
He may be the best running back in the league.
Stop, y'all. Let's be fans of the league at this point and say, if we're talking about running backs in this league, he's top
3. He's 1A, 1B at worst.
Yeah, he's top 3.
Who's the other one?
I don't know who 3 is.
Dalvin. Then he's one of 2 then.
He's one of 2.
If you're not sure if it's Dalvin or if it's...
He's one of...
Right.
You see what I'm saying? I'd rather somebody else answer that for me because... Me saying it would be very hateful. Well, he's better than Derrick. Can we say that? Or is Derrick going to bounce back and prove that he is
still maybe the biggest question mark of the whole year.
We can't say that Jonathan Taylor is a non-factor.
No, Lord, no.
Cannot say that. And that, to me, is what's going to determine this South.
Yeah, I mean, it very well may. I think, again, when we get down to it and we start to predict, because we did the schedule prediction thing a few months ago just as an experiment. And we'll do it again before the start of the season, see where we feel, see how health is at that point in time for all the teams and all this. I think we got to a point where we looked at it and it was like the Colts and the Titans were one game apart from one another, which is why it sucked that they were both going to get those games out of the way so early.
Yeah, man.
And then it's just going to be, well, how do you do against other competition for the rest of the year instead of getting that one kind of winner-take-all possible scenario late in December? But you don't have that, unfortunately. 615-737-1045 is the telephone number, 737-1045. So we're not done with this topic. We're going to come back. We're going to look at the question marks a little bit deeper, see kind of how we feel. Again, these two teams are awfully close.
Yeah.
They just are. Whether that means neither one of them is really a contender, that could be a fair argument to make potentially this year. What I think is really interesting is Breer, writing that this is win now for the Titans. When I think the draft indicates they're not in win now mode. They're almost in. Let's see what we can do with this group, but we're kind of looking to the future at this point.
You say both of them are?
Well, I definitely think the Titans are.
Yeah.
The Colts are younger in some spots, in some of the crucial spots, and a lot of the spots that the Titans happen to be old in. 737-1045. We'll come back. It's Jay Martin and Mo, 1045 The Zone. Jay Martin, Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. Colts, Titans is kind of what we're talking about here. Not the matchup. We'll get there. Looking at the two rosters and the two teams based off Albert Breer's piece at SI, where the two mailbag questions he led off with were one about the Colts, one about the Titans. We'll have Sam Monson of Pro Football Focus in the next hour. First question of Sam Monson is going to be Colts or Titans. The second question is going to be, is either one of them a Super Bowl contender? I'm just going to go ahead and spoil that for you right now. Just curious to see where they are. Now, they released, and Sam did them, power rankings at Pro Football Focus. So we'll be able to get into those. And as I say every time, write all this stuff down. But have a Titans slander folder or a Titans just opinions folder. That way you can have receipts when the time comes, or you can just throw that away and nobody will remember that you wrote it in the first place. But you'll have that to be able to call up and be like, I wrote this down back in July. And the Titans are sitting here 6-0. And I want Sam Monson to eat crow or whatever it is that you want to do. And you can do that at 8 a.m. too with Bleep You Aaron Rodgers. Jeremy's on line one. Jeremy, what's up?
What's up, Jeremy?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Ramon, you kind of bring up some of the real questions is the depth that we have on defense behind these guys. Because our starting group on the front end, I'll put them against anybody. Our defensive front, I think, is that great. But, Coach Mack kind of brought it up about the belly of the team. You know, what is Monty Rice and Weaver and, their uncertainty of the durability and longevity. And then, the way that the team runs, it's almost like they do seem older because the brand of football that the Titans play, is rough. And, like Kevin Byard, I don't think he's had an injury yet. He's been out there and he's been durable. But how long is that going to last with the way that they play? And, I believe that the bringing in Matt Ryan for the Colts had definitely did level the playing field in the AFC South. But outside of the AFC South, I don't think anybody's worried about Matt Ryan and the Colts. And I think that what you were talking about earlier about the legitimacy of either of these two teams going deep in the playoffs, nobody out of the AFC South, I don't believe, is winning a wild card spot. You better win the division and see where you go from there, because the way that the rest of the AFC is stacked up, I don't see the team having a shot at a playoff spot out in a wild card. But that's all I wanted to add to the conversation. I'll keep listening to what you guys got to say.
Sure. Talk to y'all later. Yeah, Jeremy, I think I think that point, and we've made it as well. If you're counting on a wild card out of the AFC South, you're begging.
It ain't going to happen.
Look, you can argue, I'm not going to say this is the case, but you can certainly argue all four teams in the AFC West are better than either the Colts or the Titans from 1 to 53. You can argue that. Mm-hmm. But those teams are going to beat each other's breaks off. They're going to beat each other to death, those four teams in the West. Believe me, I'm a Broncos fan. I'm watching this ahead of schedule. Somebody is going to be really good in that division, maybe two teams that aren't going to make the playoffs because they're just going to get killed. And the other thing that's going to determine that division is health.
Yeah.
And that may be the case in the South too. I know everybody wants to point out and say, well, look what we did with 90 last year. You won't do that again. Like, you should look at that and say, man, phew.
I would hope not.
That was the thing that was so obnoxious about last year and getting knocked out, the way the Titans got knocked out in the playoffs by the Bengals, is after all of that, as just non-realistic as it is to do what they did, as impressive as a result as Vrabel did and the guys that were available continued to do to win those games, especially after Derrick Henry went down, to not then be able to do more with that mm-hmm. was disappointing, because that is not sustainable. You can say you did it and you can do it again. Yeah, you technically can, but that's not a normal thing.
Yeah,
that's somehow you pulled that off. Now you got to be healthy the next year. Rams go to the Super Bowl years ago. The reason why is because they were the healthiest team in the league. The next year they were one of the most battered teams, barely made the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That stuff right there does not translate year over year. Health from one year to the next. Ravens were insanely hurt last year.
Yeah, they were.
That's going to happen again probably isn't going to happen too.
Yeah, that's the other side of having that many players going through. At some point, it will catch up to you. Like, I think, who was it, Albert Breer that wrote this, Jay? The first sentence in which he replied to Kip says, Kip, it does feel like the Titans are in as much of a win now spot as anyone in the AFC. I think that's the point of that 90 from last year. Mm-hmm. And just how fragile the roster can be if you don't build depth throughout the season. If one of those young guys don't really step up in a significant way. The help that's got to be had from the wide receivers, Jay. And I know this is a run-first team.
Mm-hmm.
But even there. And just correlating that to the offensive line. You know, like, we can say it's a run-first team, but what is this offensive line this year? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, who's really going to step up at wide receiver? That's what we're saying as far as a win now, because the guys you got, yeah, they can make plays, but it's got to speed up this year fast.
It does. And so we haven't really talked about the running back comparison. I know you've been doing a little bit of research on that.
Yeah.
We can lead off 7 o'clock hour. We can talk a little bit about that. Look, we're going to be able to watch both these guys, hopefully healthy all year long, helping their teams, we would think, in tremendous ways, both of them. So we'll get into that debate. We'll continue down this line. We'll get some of your thoughts. 615-737-1045. It's your telephone number, 737-1045. A reminder, Sam Monson, a Pro Football Focus. We'll look at the PFF power rankings and speak a lot about the AFC and the AFC South here in about 25 minutes on 104.5 The Zone.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.